One very cold and snowy Christmas Eve, Ben and Katie were sitting beside a lovely warm fire in the lounge of their home, watching the Christmas cartoon program on the television. They were both rather tired, because all day they'd been busy helping their mother to decorate the big Christmas tree that stood in the corner of the lounge, and to put up all the paper chains and holly. The house looked very pretty with all the decorations, and Ben and Katie especially liked the coloured balloons that had been such a job to blow up. The twinkling lights on the Christmas tree blinked on and off and made patterns on the big pile of Christmas presents under the tree. When their mother was not looking, they'd been feeling the ones with their names on, trying to guess what was in them. Do you ever do that? It's a bit naughty, isn't it, but great fun. They'd squabbled quite a lot that day, even more than usual, but their mother had decided it was because they were just so excited waiting for Christmas Day, and Mother was quite firm when she came into the lounge and switched off the television. "Come on now, you two," she said. "Let's put out a mince pie for Father Christmas, and then upstairs to bed. It'll be a very busy day tomorrow, and if you don't get off to sleep, Father Christmas won't come." Ben and Katie both groaned. They didn't feel tired, and they didn't want to go to bed. Katie went out to the kitchen and came back with two mince pies on a plate, which she put by the fire. "One of these is for Father Christmas," she said, "and the other's for his reindeer." "Upstairs," ordered their mother. They dawdled upstairs. They dawdled in the bathroom cleaning their teeth. In fact, they dawdled over everything. But after a nice warm bath, they both felt a lot better. They hung up their stockings at the end of their beds and then jumped in and said their prayers. "God bless Mummy and Daddy and Ben," said Katie. "Bless Grandma and Grandpa and Nana and Pops, and bless my dolls and all my friends." Ben tried hard to think what to say, but he couldn't. He just lay there with his eyes closed, thinking of the presents he hoped he would get tomorrow. Downstairs, the door opened. "Hello," shouted their daddy. "I'm home." "We're up here just going to sleep," said Mummy, in a very meaningful voice. So Daddy tiptoed upstairs and gave them each a good-night kiss. "I wonder," he said in a quiet voice, "I wonder if Father Christmas will come tonight. Off to sleep now. Night-night." When Mummy and Daddy had gone downstairs, Ben and Katie began to whisper to each other. "Do you think he will come, Kate?" asked Ben. "I do hope so," she replied. "He won't forget us, will he?" "Well, we did write him a letter," said Ben. "I hope it didn't get lost in the post." That was a terrible thought, and they both lay there worrying about it. And although Ben and Katie really tried, they just couldn't get to sleep. The harder they tried, the more they stayed awake. It was awful. Hours passed. And then, just as they thought they were almost asleep, they heard a funny scrabbling noise on the roof above them. Outside, Father Christmas's sleigh skidded to a halt on the rooftop of number 3 Greenside Close. "Whoa! Whoa there," said Father Christmas to his reindeer. "We've a call to make here." He fumbled inside his huge red coat for a very long list that already had a lot of ticks on it. "Ah, let me see," he said. "Ben and Katie Taylor's house. They wrote me a lovely letter, but I only just got it in time. Another one with no postcode. I must remind all the children to use it next year." He seemed to be talking to himself, but the reindeer all had their heads cocked on one side as if they were listening intently. "Never mind," he went on. I got it just before I packed the sleigh, so all's well. He reached into the sleigh and pulled out a large brown sack. He slung it over his shoulder and marched up towards the chimney pot. "Down we go," he sang, as he hoisted himself over the pot and disappeared downwards. Meanwhile, Ben and Katie were staring wide-eyed over their covers, their hearts beating really fast as they strained hard to hear any sound of movement. They were very excited. The door opened softly, and there stood, guess who? Yes, you're right. It was Father Christmas in his huge red coat, a red hat, a long white beard, carrying a big brown sack over his shoulder. He seemed slightly sooty. "Are you asleep?" he asked. "Yes," said Katie.
"Shh, you idiot," hissed Ben.
Father Christmas chuckled. "Can I come in?" he asked. "Yes," said Ben sadly, for he knew that they would never have any presents now. The spell had been broken. "You look sad, Ben," said Father Christmas. "I'm not," said Ben, trying to be very brave. "Have you got our presents?" asked Katie eagerly. "No," replied Father Christmas, perching himself on the end of Katie's bed. "Not while you're still awake." He eased his boots and scratched his head. A shower of snow and soot fell on the carpet. He did seem tired. "Have you delivered many presents?" asked Katie. "Oh, yes," he said. "I started on the 6th of December, on the eve of St. Nicholas Day. But it wasn't here in England. I've been to Holland and all sorts of lovely places. It's a busy time of year for me, you know." As Father Christmas was speaking, Ben and Katie could hear music in the street outside their house. It was Silent Night, which was one of Katie's favourites. "Well, I never," said Father Christmas. "I've just been to Austria. Do you know that's where this carol came from?" "No," said the children, sitting up. "Then let me tell you about it." "It must have been nearly 200 years ago," Father Christmas went on. "I remember it well. Gosh, it was cold that year, and the mountain village I was going to was completely cut off from the rest of the world by the deep, deep snow. I managed to get through, though. The reindeer are very good, and they don't mind bad weather a bit. I was just giving some presents to the Gruber children when their father, who was the village choirmaster and organist, came home in a terrible state. He'd been to church to practice for the midnight service, but when he got there, he discovered that the organ had broken down. It didn't work at all. It didn't play a single note. He'd looked around the back of the organ, and he discovered a great big hole in the leather of the bellows."
"What are bellows?" interrupted Ben.
"Oh, they are the things that push the air through the organ pipes to make the sounds," explained Father Christmas. "Anyway, Mr. Gruber had looked inside, and what do you think he saw? He saw a mouse, which must have chewed its way in. There was no way the organ mender could get there, because the roads were blocked with snow. There was nothing that could be done. Mr. Gruber ran round to the parish priest's house to tell him of the disaster. Father Moore was not so worried. 'I can play my guitar instead,' he said.
"But we have no music for a guitar," said Mr. Gruber anxiously.
"Come inside," said Father Moore. "Let's do something together now. I can write a poem, and you can write a tune for it. I've got a good idea." And do you know what? They just sat down quietly, and Father Moore wrote some beautiful words, and Mr. Gruber wrote the music, and when they put them together, it was the carol you heard outside, Silent Night. They sang it in their church that night, and the people in the village thought it was the most special carol they had ever heard. And now it's become very famous, hasn't it? Father Christmas, who loved telling children stories, suddenly realized it was time he was off. He still had lots more names on his list. He smiled at Ben and Katie, thought for a moment, and then had an idea to help them go to sleep. "Ben," he whispered quietly, "Katie, close your eyes tight and listen carefully. It's been a whole year since I last came to see you. I want you to think back over the year, both of you, and try to remember some of the really good things that happened to you." Actually, Ben was slipping into sleep, but he just caught some pictures in his head of his mummy and daddy laughing while they all played happily in the sea on their summer holiday. He saw Katie helping him to build a car in the sand, and he saw his friends in the school football team after they won their first match. And he saw... Katie too was concentrating, but only just. She closed her eyes and yawned. She saw her guinea pig and its three brand new babies. She saw Granny sewing the new dress for her favourite doll. And she saw Ben going with her on her first day at school. And she thought she could smell sausages cooking. They were both fast asleep. And Father Christmas knew it was safe now. He left them some really marvellous presents in their stockings, which he knew they wouldn't find until the morning. "Happy Christmas, Ben and Katie," he whispered as he crept out. Downstairs, he ate one of Katie's mince pies and put the other in his pocket for the reindeer. I do hope he remembered to give it to them. I expect you can imagine how delighted Ben and Katie were when they found their presents in the morning. But do you know, neither of them could tell their mother where the dark, sooty patch at the foot of Katie's bed had come from.